Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. The world is watching. God has a plan for every part, every phase of your life. He has a plan for you being a Christian. He has a plan for you to be a neighbor. He has a plan for you to be an employee, a plan to be a husband or a wife. And what brings us to our topic today, He has a plan for you to be a parent, a mother, a father. As the world watches, how are we demonstrating God's plan? Does the world see us following God's plan? Does the world see the results of God's plan and what He intends? It is our job to prove God's plan that the world may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Parenting for the glory of God. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 20 and 11, Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Even children are recognized by their deeds. Proverbs 22 and 15, Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Fathers. Ephesians 6 and 4. Fathers. It is our responsibility to nurture, to admonish, to discipline, to train, to instruct, to teach our children. That falls on us. That's the responsibility that God has given to us, fathers. Deuteronomy 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be put in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Take every opportunity you have. Saturate your children with the teaching of God. When you're in the car, when you're working in the garage, when you're sitting at the dinner table, every opportunity you have, teach by talking, teach by studying, teach by example. Fathers, when do you teach? Read. Pray. Study with your children. Stop and ask, how diligently am I doing this? Make certain that they know the Lord, that they know the Lord's teaching, that they know the Lord's love and care and concern, so that they may learn to love the Lord. As Asa has already brought the idea, there's no guarantee that your children will follow the Lord as adults, because God has given us all free will. That horse that you can't make drink water. You can't make your children love the Lord. But take every opportunity to let the light shine through you to influence your children. Consider the alternative. If we as fathers do not take serious to bring up our children in the teaching and admonition of the Lord, we as fathers must prove God's plan to be the best choice. Good news, fathers. God has given us help. Genesis 2 and 18, and the Lord said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he brought her to the man. It's as if the God all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty ran an errand for mankind. Adam, you just take a nap while I go and do something that's going to make you happy. Not only did God make this gift to help man, he didn't say, "Adam, when you get a minute, come pick this." No, it's special delivery. God brought her to the man. What a gift, this help that us fathers really need, and God knew it. James 1 and 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God created a helper for man. If God's plan is being followed, then we fathers were first husbands. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now think about that for a minute. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. We talk about this, but we kind of slide over it. In Mark 10 and 19, it says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." These are commandments given that we know they are etched in stone. If you're going to obey God, these are things we agree to. They are commandments. There's no option. There's no argument. Most of us, there's no hesitation. Love your wives as Christ also loved the church. That's not an option. Love your wives till death do you part. Love your wives as long as you're alive. Love your wives as long as she's your wife. Love her as Christ loved the church. So how does Christ show his love to others? Well, time limits us to cover this thoroughly, but just a few highlights. Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ offers rest. John 14:2, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus provides. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He gives encouragement, a peaceful environment, and security. John 15:15, "I don't call you a servant, I call you my friend." You are my friend, not my servant. He shares all that he has. All that my Father has given to me, I'm sharing with you. John 13:1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." His love is committed even under the most severe trials. In John 13:3, we see how Jesus washes the feet of those who he loved, the disciples. The obvious, Jesus died for the world. John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus set the standard. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, give your husbands cause to love you. In Ephesians 5 and 33, wife, respect your husbands. Husbands, give your wives reason to respect you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Parents, teach your children that husbands and wives are to be loyal to each other. And let the world see this. Be examples by showing them how devoted you are, how faithful you are to each other. Let your children see this. This is teaching by example. There was a time when I was relatively young, but getting a little too big for my britches. And foolishly, I spoke disrespectful to my mother. Imagine my surprise when I turned around and saw my father standing there. After he abruptly gained 100% of my attention, he said, "Don't ever speak to my wife like that again." That was a memorable time. I don't think I ever did speak disrespectful to his wife again. I know that my father had a lot of love for me and still does. But the topic of discussion at the moment was not my mother. The topic of discussion was his wife. And I knew where I fell in the order. The loyalty was first to his wife and taught to his children. God has blessed us with children. Children are a blessing from God to be loved and cherished. They are important. They are to be valued. They are to be respected. They are part of the family. But they should never distract from the love and loyalty that the parents have for one another, for each other. Someday these children are going to be gone. And the love and the loyalty that you have to your mate continues. A young woman was having a discussion with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law, during the discussion, started being a little critical of her son. The young woman stopped her mother-in-law and said, "I don't want you talking about my husband that way." The loyalty of this young woman to stop her mother-in-law. "I know that he's your son, but I don't want you to speak that way about my husband." The loyalty I see to be admirable. Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Make every effort to fulfill the standards set by Christ. Why? Husbands, why is this so important? Well, number one, God expects it. It's certainly going to make your marriage stronger and more rewarding. But it is an example to your children so that your son will see how to be a godly husband. So that your son will learn what God expects out of him being a husband. So that your daughters will see how a wife is to be cherished, loved, and valued. So that your daughters will not compromise when accepting a proposal. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And treat your wives the same way you want your daughters treated when they are married, so that they'll know what to expect and push for that. Prove God's plan to your children that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Ephesians 6 and 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Now, how is it that we can be provoking? Matthew 7 and 9 says, "What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Any proper parent, Any respectable parent is going to be looking after the best interest, the benefits of their children. But even with our greatest intentions, we can be provoking. Here are some of the things that we might want to watch. Here are some of the things that we can be cautious of. Number one, being overprotective. A parent's job is to protect and to provide, but also to prepare. Prepare them to be adults. There will be a time that you have to let go. And you have to plan ahead. You don't do this at 17. Don't be overprotective. Your children will resent this, and I see it to be provoking. Make sure that you are going, that you are training to the point to let go and let them be adults. We need to be cautious about redundant or excessive rules. I've learned one thing. If there's anything about rules, the fewer the rules, the better it is. Make them general. Respect and care for our home and property is much easier than don't run in the house, don't jump on the couch, don't write on the walls, don't throw rocks at the car. You know, you can go forever. Make simple rules and enforce them. Do you believe that this is respecting what we have? We can be provoking with unreasonable punishments. Don't get carried away in the heat of the moment. I talked last night about one of the things that I wish I had been more patient. Because the heat of the moment, the anger can drive you and you can get unreasonable. Don't lose your focus. You're training a child. You're not trying to win a fight. Foolish threats. Someone got a fly swatter? Foolish threats. I'm going to knock you into next week. What a stupid thing to say. How foolish. When are your children going to take you serious when you say things like that? Be cautious with your warnings. If you say you're going to punish them, then punish them. Follow through with the threat. Don't make foolish threats. Don't waste your time throwing out foolish threats if you're not going to follow through. I don't see any purpose of us demonstrating our ability to count to three to our children. You make a rule, you expect it to be followed. You know, I think my father's pretty intelligent, but I've never heard him count to three. If I hear him count to one, I better listen. We spoke last night also about the consistency of discipline, being consistent. Don't change the rules. The rules today apply for tomorrow. So make sure that those rules you're going to follow through with. What's good today is going to be good tomorrow. And definitely in the consistency, watch your hypocrisy. If you're going to teach by example, you're going to be a failure if you try to push the do as I say, not as I do. I don't know if that ever works. Displaced aggression. Fathers, we see stressful times. Could be health issues, could be work issues, could be church issues. There's stress out there. Don't take your aggression out on the family. Displaced aggression. Make sure we're not provoking our children. Do your children bring you pleasure? Make sure they know that. Do they look at you as being angry or moody? Be careful you're not taking out other stressful situations out on your family, because they're the closest. They know you the best. Don't provoke them. There are times to discipline. But let's first define self-discipline. Controlling your own behavior and actions and being responsible without being told. That's where we want to take our children to where they are adults and self-disciplined. Well, how do we do that? We must first know what the standards are. What are the guidelines? When I was a kid, the standards were all pretty much on the same page. If you were seen doing something wrong, and even if your neighbor saw it, they might set you straight. Everyone's expectations of children were pretty close about 50 years ago. In the last 50 years, a lot of things have changed. Today, godly standards have been lost in the world that we live in. I work with a young woman at work that she can be a little loud, so her conversations are easily overheard. Some of her conversations, they're just depressing to listen to. Topics of why are people so critical of homosexuals? What business is it of yours if I live with my boyfriend? Who are you to tell me I shouldn't have children because I'm not married? Don't judge me. No one's perfect. Don't judge me. I hear that an awful lot. Don't judge me. Her standards are dictated by a society that's promoting acceptance and tolerance, where political correctness has precedence over right and wrong. And there's a lot of people out there that's exactly where their standards come from. I don't know if this young woman has ever been exposed to godly standards. But there are standards. And fathers, we need to teach our children what those standards are. God has given us these standards to pass on to our children. Remember King Belshazzar in Daniel, the 5th chapter. Imagine how he felt when he saw the writing on the wall. Well, we can read about how he felt. I don't know if I can put myself in that position. But the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked with each other. Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed. What was it that caused him to turn so deathly pale? What was it that caused this king to be terrified? He had been compared to the standards. Daniel 5:27, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Fathers, know the standards. Teach the standards. Practice the standards. Live the standards. Pass them on to your children. To discipline is a practice of training your children to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. Again, let's go back to Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, do not withhold correction from your child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. This conversation always makes people a little nervous. Why? Well, because we equate beating with abuse. There are abusive parents in the world. Some of us may know them. Abusive parents are evil. I'll just stop that there. But unfortunately, there are abusive parents. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. All Scripture is inspired by God. Don't discard or ignore inspired instruction because of the misinterpretation or practices of evil people. We are discussing causing pain. We are. But not excessive pain. Punishment doesn't even have to always be physical. But there has to be some kind of displeasure to get their attention. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, now no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It is meant to have a certain amount of pain. My philosophy, my theory on discipline, and my children have heard this before they faced their discipline, it is my job to teach you. I am your father. It is my job to teach you that everything you do in life is going to cause pain if it's wrong. If you do something wrong, it's going to be cause pain physically, emotionally, or financially. Physically, if you mistreat your body with harmful materials or live an immoral lifestyle, it's asking for sickness and limiting your life, and you're asking for pain. Emotionally, you know that you've done something wrong. There's going to be embarrassment. There's going to be living with guilt. And you could be haunted for years for something you've done. Financially, I think all of us can think about this. If you do something wrong, you break a rule, there's a fine to pay. It is the parent's job to teach that disobedience causes discomfort. If we fail to teach our children this, most of their life is going to be an uphill battle. Failure to submit to rules will most likely result in an eternal pain and punishment. If your children don't follow rules, it's your job to set them straight. If you don't show them discomfort in this life, and they don't learn to follow rules, they will have an eternity of pain. But to balance this philosophy, this theory, Matthew 5 and 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Your children are not going to be perfect. We were not perfect children. And we have to face the fact also that we are not perfect parents. With this mercy, this is where we address the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy to our children. How many times do you think God says, I told you once, you're history now. I would have been history a long time ago. We as parents, we have to show some mercy. But what's the goal? The goal is to teach them the rules. If you do something wrong, it's going to cause pain. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Nurture the behavior of our children. There are two ways of training the behavior of our children. That's positive and negative reinforcement. We've covered the negative. The Bible teaches it. God expects it. Punishment for bad behavior. How often do we practice the positive reinforcement, the rewards for good behavior? praising them and taking pleasure in their accomplishments. Most children are looking for approval from their parents, particularly when they are young. You know this by all the things you put on the refrigerator door. They want to please you. The things they've drawn and they bring it to you. The things they've made and they bring it to you. The bouquet of dandelions that they bring to you. They want to see you smile. They want to make you happy. They want to please you. Respond to this. Make time for this. Give them opportunity to share and confirm the fact that you're pleased, that you love them, that this is enjoyable. Confirm your love and win their hearts. That's a big deal of winning their hearts. Now, as they get older, they will still value your opinion. They may not rely as much on your approval, but win their hearts while you can. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And instead of bringing religion to them with a list of do's and don'ts, which is such a mistake, if you grow up and you think, okay, here's my do list and here's my don't list, you kind of go to bed checking them off. What did I do? And did they balance? And did I come up with more do's than don'ts? And am I still in good graces? I hate the idea of religion being a list of do's and don'ts. But convince your children the reason God wants you to obey. Why it's beneficial. How He has shown His love and what He has promised for us. The wonderful promises that He has in store for us. Promote them to the idea of, I want to please God, just as they did when they brought you those bouquet of dandelions. As adults, they want to please God with much more substantial things. Encourage them to give their hearts to the Lord. Win the hearts of your children. Gain their love. When they care about you and are striving to please you, they won't follow the rules because it's the rule. They'll do it because they know they pleases you. They'll do it because they know it's a good thing that makes you happy. And then you can hand that off to the Lord. You step out of the way. And your children can look at the Lord that way. I'm not doing this, God, because you give me this rule. I'm doing this because you know best for me. And I want to make you happy. When you're in the thick of raising children, sometimes it seems like it'll be an eternity. The days will be long, especially for the mothers. But the more consistent you are, the easier it'll be when you start approaching the teenage years. Your children will know exactly who you are, what you expect. We have a small window of time. A small window of time to raise our children. A small window of time to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. A small window of time to win their hearts and to mold them into adults to where we hand them over to the Lord. John 3 and 4, John writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a wonderful feeling that a parent can say that. You have a small window of time. There's a lot of children sitting out here. If you have children 8 or 9 years old, your window's halfway closed. Your time's halfway up. You look at an 8-year-old and you think, he's still a child. The window's closing fast. It's already closed halfway. We talk about a small window of time. How on earth did I get to be a grandfather? I don't know where it went. That's what old people say for all you young guys. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people. to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Psalms 155, verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Parent, for the glory of God. As we come to the end of my thoughts, Ace has already given us an invitation. Do you want to breathe? Do you want a sigh of relief? Oh, this is what I've been looking for. God, you have set me free. That's only through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that you can have the God Almighty be your parent, be your father. If there's any way we can encourage you, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.
We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5.
And so I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that